Welcome to Crystal Clear Finances, where we believe that finances shouldn't be confusing. You don't have to face them alone, and you can have confidence for every financial decision. My name is Crystal Langdon.
And my name is George Amador, and today we are talking about what you own, and more importantly, why you own it. See, Crystal, we always have a reason for buying something in life, right? Whether it's at the grocery store, whether it's a gadget we want or a toy that we want, whether it's a good reason or a bad reason, there's a reason for what we buy. And in our stock portfolio, in our bond portfolio, it shouldn't be any different. So today, what I really wanted to talk about is what are the different components coming off of the accounts that we talked about last week. Let's talk about filling those accounts this week with what are the instruments we can fill them with, and more importantly, why are we doing so?
And George, I think that's so important that we talk about this, because a lot of times people will come into our office and they'll say, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I be selling it? Should I be buying it? And I heard about this over there, or my friend has this. And what we all boils down to is understanding what is your financial plan? Why did we pick those specific stocks, bonds, or funds? And then if that reason has changed, well, then maybe we should be making some changes. But if the reason you're looking at it hasn't changed and you're just doing it because of pressure from outside sources, we might want to slow down on that. So, George, why don't we go through and let's start at the beginning and let's talk about all these different options that we have when it comes to investing, because I know for many people, it's overwhelming and confusing and they don't even know where to start. So let's start.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Let's start there. So, you know, I think about the different options you have. And if we can boil it all down to a 30,000 foot view of just very high level, kind of take a look at it all and say, what are the options that I have? There's really what I like to boil it down to is two categories, right? There's either the growth and kind of risk category, and there's the conservative stability category, right? We can really break everything down into those two. Again, oversimplification, but for most people, we can start there. And so when we look at the different instruments, you really have to kind of consider it when we talk about it. And I'll use the analogy of like a ladder, right? So we're going to start at the ground floor, and the higher up the ladder we go, the more risk we take. Well, right. If we look at the first two rungs of the risk ladder, we're just going to start on the stability, conservative side of the portfolio. So the most conservative, most stable out there is cash, right? This is either cash that you have at home or a cash in your investment account, specifically done through like a money market is usually the way that you have cash in your IRA, 401k, or brokerage account. But cash is stable. It's not going to go anywhere. But it's so conservative that we do need more than just cash, because as we know, right, inflation will deteriorate the value over time. So we need more than just cash. But that's kind of the first rung, again, stable side of the portfolio. Next rung of the ladder is going to be a bond. Now, a bond basically is an IOU where you lend money to a company, a government, or municipality for a specific period of time at a specific interest rate. Once that time frame is up, you get all of your money back, plus whatever interest was charged on that bond. So when we talk about bonds, the conservative stability portion of the portfolio bonds are what are considered to be short-term, intermediate-term bonds. These are bonds that are really have a maturity of usually 7 to 10 years or less, so very short-term, and also have a very high rating. Just like we have credit scores, when we talk about what our rating is, bonds have a rating too, and they're usually done on a grade scale like school. And so anything that is rated BBB or higher is going to be an investment grade bond. So in a very high level, we're just going to talk about stability for a moment. Cash and bonds are generically going to be that stability portion of the portfolio that you're going to use, again, like I mentioned, for stable times. When things get volatile, we need a portion of our portfolio to drive that stability. And that's where the stable component comes from, is cash and bonds.
Perfect. And I love how you said that, G. And when we're talking with our clients, we do encourage that they have a portion that's in stable, because when they go through volatile times, when they go through black swan events like we had this year when COVID came out and all these different areas, it was nice knowing that our clients were at peace. Well, maybe they weren't totally at peace because they didn't understand what in the world was happening in the world. But when it came to their finances, G, they were at peace because they knew we had told them, listen, you should have at least 2 weeks living expense of cash at home. preferably not under the mattress, preferably in a safe, but just have some cash on hand. Then we teach them, listen, we want to have some cash that's at your local bank that you can go down and get the money. And then, of course, when we talk outside the investment realm, there is a place where we put cash so that it can keep up with the cost of living. But cash is part of an investment plan. Unfortunately, with a lot of fear that's around, people think it's the only part of the plan and they want to run to cash. And we want to encourage them, like exactly what you're doing today is, hey, let's understand what we should have in place and why we own it. If you're having cash, and I'm going to talk about bonds in a second, or cash or CDs or bonds in place, it's usually because we want a safe component, but we want to make sure that fear isn't making us just hang out there and not enter into the other areas of investment so that we can keep up with the cost of living. Mm-hmm. Now, G, you would you classify CDs also in that area?
Yeah, any sort of cash equivalent, right? So whether it's going to be, just like you said, a cold hard cash, green money that you have at your home, whether it's a CD, certificate of deposit, whether it's a money market, even savings bonds. I know it's the word bond, but a savings bond is technically a cash equivalent. So when you talk about having cash, right, sometimes cash in the portfolio is used as a buffer. So meaning if there's a time for me to be able to purchase, if times of volatility are happening, and I have a little bit of buffer, I have a little leeway in my portfolio, I'm going to use the cash that I've held set aside. That's usually done in the form of like a money market inside of your portfolio in order to have that. But if we're just looking to have some extra cash on hand that's not invested in the market for conservative reasons, then certificate of deposit, money market account, savings bonds are all considered there.
All right. And then before we continue to climb up this ladder of investments, let me just also ask a question here. When we're talking about bonds, take a moment and just clarify. Are we talking about those maybe in the older generation, my generation, where we think about one specific company and a bond with that company? Or are we talking about multiple bonds? Let's just dive into that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. So again, at the core of it all, bonds are is a very big market. And there's tons of different bonds that are out there. But when we talk specifically about bonds as the stability portion of the portfolio, what we're talking about is really those two criteria. The criteria of it has to be a short-term or medium-term bond, right? So think about it like this. If I, like I mentioned, it's an IOU. So let's say you lend me money. If you lend me money for a specific period of time, well, what happens is during that specific period of time, I'm going to say, hey, I need that money back, right? You're going to say, Crystal, or George, I need that my money back. Well, if you lend me money for 6 months, you have a lot less risk involved than if you lent me money for 30 years, right? And so the lower the maturity, the shorter the term I'm lending money, the better it is for purposes of risk, and as well as the rating, right? So the rating is going to be important. Triple B or higher is an important feature. Now, that can be done through a company, like a corporation can have bonds, and you can buy bonds to and basically lend your money to a corporation. Most of the time when we're talking stability, though, we're talking government bonds. So U.S. treasuries, even some foreign governments can be in there as well. Municipalities, local municipalities are going to offer bonds as well. And so when we look at that as the stability portion of the portfolio, it is going to be the case in those two criteria. And we're going to put those together in a diversified approach, right? So we're not just going to pick one company or one government and go buy one or two bonds. In fact, we're not really going to do that nowadays. Nowadays, you're going to pick a mutual fund, most likely, or an exchange traded fund that has hundreds of bonds inside of it, where you're really just investing in that product to get that return over time.
Exactly. And one of the things before we go to the next ladder and learn about other investment options is a lot of times, in fact, I had a situation just the other day where someone came in and said, I want to be conservative. I don't want to have it in cash where I'm getting point nothing, but I don't want to go into the market quite yet. I want to wait till the beginning of the year. So I want to do bonds because, and this is what they had said, bonds never lose money. So I just, before we get off this ladder, we have to understand that when we've moved away from cash, there still is a possibility once you step your foot, even if it's on the very first rung of the ladder, you could lose money.
Well, yeah, and really, you can technically lose money in anything, right? Everything has some level of risk, even cash. Remember, if I hold cash for 30 years, I lost money because inflation is deteriorating the value of my dollar. So you can't say nothing loses money because, And bonds can definitely lose money too. I mean, at the end of the day, when you have a bond that you're investing in, if you do not hold that bond until maturity, right? So let's go back to the example. If you lend me, if I buy a bond from you, right, you're lending me money. Well, right. If that bond, if I decide to sell the bond before it matures, let's say I can hold it for 2 years, that's my maturity. If I sell it before 2 years, there's no guarantee that I'm going to get all my money back, because it depends what the market does. And interest rates drive bond prices. Now, I don't want to get into too much detail. We don't have tons of time on the radio program today. But when you look specifically at interest rates, the lower the interest rate, the higher the price of the bond. The higher the interest rate, the lower the price of the bond. So let's just think about it. If we're in a low interest rate environment today and interest rates could go up in the future, you can't put all of your money in bonds, because what if interest rates start climbing and the price of that bond starts to go down? Now, I don't want to open up a can of worms, but just again, as looking at this as another investment, that is a key component. So yes, it's stability, it's conservative, but no guarantee.
Correct. And I think back to the, you know, when we look at February and March, when we saw the stock market go down 35%, if you were in bonds, okay, so maybe it was 3%. So if I look at minus 35 compared to minus 3, I'm going to take minus 3 all day long. So sure. It does have that stability to it. And then, of course, it has less area that it has to make up that money instead of a stock or some other one that was down 35%. So I think it kind of gives us a broad overview of the first step. And of course, we always want to encourage individuals, give us a call at 518-433-7181. We will sit down and explain the different investment options that are there. That's part of being a certified financial planner and putting together, you know, our savings, investment, and protection program. But let's go ahead, G, and let's talk about what is the next rung on the ladder.
Sure. So now we're moving away from stability, conservative. We're going to jump over now to an aggressive or growth oriented. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when we talk specifically about aggressive or growth oriented, that just means we're taking a little bit more risk. Remember, think of the ladder. Now we're jumping up another step on the ladder. So the next step up on the ladder is a stock. Now, stock is at the core of it all is ownership of a company, where you pay to be part owner of that company. And how well the company does, as well as how well the market does, will drive your investment, whether up or down. So when you're looking specifically at buying a stock, you know, this is the one thing we get all the time. You know, George, you're in financial planning, you're in investments, give me the next best stock tip. And it's like, that's not what I do, because at the end of the day, I'm not here to buy one or two or three different stocks. In fact, I'm not here to buy 10 or 20 stocks. Really, at the end of the day, the investment piece as to why we own this is for the growth driver, is for the capital appreciation. I want to start seeing my money go up and increase. Now, that does take on a higher level of risk, which means higher highs could also equate to lower lows. We have to balance that out with that stability side we've talked about. But on the next rung of the risk ladder is, in fact, stock. So when we're looking at purchasing stocks, most investors will do so through some sort of fund, whether it's a mutual fund or an exchange-traded fund. They act a little bit different. The characteristics of each of those are different. However, at the core of what a fund is it's putting together maybe a couple hundred stocks or individual companies, pulling together a few thousand, maybe even more investors. And now we're pooling all of the money together to buy portions or shares of all of those different companies. So now I don't just have to buy one or two companies and all of my eggs are in one basket. I can have 200 different companies in the market and be diversified.
That's a great explanation. And what I want to do is we get a couple questions where they say, but if I go from bonds all the way to stocks, that's such a huge jump. And what, you know, I've always heard that stocks are risky. And there is truth to that. If you take all your money, put it in one stock, and then cross your fingers and hope, well, yeah, if the stock does not do well, if there's not been research, if there's not been a proven track record, or if COVID just hits, we don't know. But there is risk associated. So after we take our break, G, I want to talk about the fact of how can we make a pool of stocks so that we know, okay, I don't have to just pick one. I can pick this general component of it, and it will have hundreds of it. So I want to explain that in a moment. But first, what I'd like to do, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back with more crystal clear finances.
In a world of uncertainty, it's hard to feel like you have options. focusing on areas you can't control increases stress and robs the ability to think clearly and continue moving forward. This is Crystal Langdon with today's financial gem. 2 Timothy 1:7 states that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. You still have the ability to make choices, to save strategically and invest with calculated risk. You still can plan in the midst of turmoil, and you can still have confidence for every financial decision. Call Crystal Clear Finances today at 518-433-7181 or visit us online at crystalclearfinances.com. Let our proven track record for wisdom and guidance help you gain the confidence you need for every financial decision.
And we're back with more Crystal Clear Finances. My name is Crystal Langdon. I'm here with G, and today we're talking about, hey, understanding what you own and why you own it. And G, before we jump back into our discussion, I do want to tell a little story. When my kids were young, I bought them each stock. Now back then, again, I'm showing my age, when you bought stock in these companies, they gave you something every Christmas for it. So we bought stock for the kids in Hershey's and Wrigley's. Now, this is not a recommendation, just for compliance purposes. But what we did is we bought them. And so every year at Christmas time, they would send a box of Hershey bars, and Wrigley's would send a box of their newest gum. And the kids loved it. And what was nice is they would walk through the store, and we had bought them 10 different specific stocks of different companies. And they literally could point and picture at the stocks that they owned, the companies they owned on the grocery shelves. It was a great learning experience because they began to realize as these companies did good, they also got larger dividends because they owned shares of this company. If the companies did not do good, then they were not going to get big dividends, and then mom was going to end up and sell those shares. So one of the things we need to look at as we talk about stocks, which we did right before the break, is realize there are some real winners. We've seen some just for our clients lately that they think we're like totally brilliant, which is always a nice feeling to see, where we've picked some quality stocks, but there is risk associated with it, where some people say, you know what, I'm not really ready for the growth oriented part of it. What's a way that I can still have stock but be more diversified? And I think that's where the funds and ETFs come in. Can you talk a little bit about them, explain like how they work and how that does add a little comfort level to investors?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I think when we talk about these, you first have to always go back to, it needs to be a part of a bigger, broader, diversified portfolio, right? Jumping from bonds to stocks shouldn't be something, it shouldn't be an all or nothing decision, right? When we're adding stocks, yes, we are adding some risk, right? But we're doing so why? Again, it goes back to why are we doing this? Because there's a need in the portfolio for growth. If there's a need for growth in the portfolio, where are we going to do that? We're going to add stocks. Now, again, back to your point, what can we do not to add tons of risk, but again, calculated risk to the portfolio? And that's going to be done through funds, through mutual funds or exchange traded funds. Now, most of the portfolios that we use with our clients are exchange traded fund portfolios, although we do have mutual funds that we can use as well. But I like exchange traded funds. Again, not a recommendation. I just like the way they work. I like the way the fees are a little bit lower. They trade kind of like stocks. So it's a little bit look and a feel, getting kind of your feet wet in the market, but also diversified. And you can kind of control things a little bit more. I'll just leave it at that. And so when we look specifically at adding funds, now there's tons of different stocks that are out there in the market, right? Thousands of different companies are listed on these markets. And so when we're adding that, why we add with a fund is because now we're compiling a bunch of them together, maybe a couple hundred, to give, first of all, diversification, but then we can give exposure in different areas of the market if I want to. So for some people, if we're just going to add stocks to the portfolio because there's a need for growth, well, we might be able to add the whole market, the whole stock market, the S&P 500, the Dow Jones, the NASDAQ, the Russell 2000, whatever it may be. We're going to add that as a component to the portfolio. But then some people, we talked about this with Tony a few weeks back, right, have these little satellite needs where maybe they just want the technology sector of the market. Maybe they just want the healthcare sector or a couple of cruise liners or the travel and entertainment sector, right? Whatever it may be. Maybe it's a little bit smaller of a niche. Well, we can go and get a fund that has a couple hundred companies in a specific sector of the market or even a niche sector of the market where now I can just add that extra satellite component for a different need or a want that I have in my portfolio. So we use the funds because it, again, gives a much smoother transition into stability to growth. But it's also going to help us have calculated risk. So we're not just moving the needle from zero to 100.
Right. And you know what I love, G, is that when you're looking at these funds or these portfolios, there literally can be 100 to 2,000 different companies within it. And that's what most times when people are hearing about these fund companies, that's really what it is. It's not just one specific stock. It's multitudes within it. You know, one of the reasons why I do like ETFs more than usually mutual funds, and again, we're making sure we're not giving recommendations, but it's because if someone has a mutual fund and they call me at 10 in the morning and say, hey, Crystal, you know what, I just want to get out of the market, or let's say that they have a financial need and they said, hey, we've been planning for this day, it's time to take money out. Well, so sorry, Charlie, I can put the request in. I can tell the stock market, I want to sell this, but it's not going to happen until the end of the day, which could be a good thing if the market goes up because now I'm going to sell it higher. But likewise, it could be a bad thing because the market could go down and they could lose even though they're like, sell, sell, sell. So with an ETF, what I love about it is the ETF says, hey, I want to sell, and I sold. It's like very quick that we can get in and out. And I think with technology in the past, the mutual funds, hey, that worked. That made sense. We were able to put stocks all together. We were able to put bonds all together. But we had the delay of time. Now ETF is more current where we're able to say, yeah, we can still have diversification. We can have time on our side and technology on our side to take advantage of it. So I agree with you. I prefer more leaning towards the ETFs. And again, we're going to open up the ETFs. We're going to open up the funds, look what's inside. And one of the things I did this week, G, with one of the clients, and I'm sure you've done this with yours, is was able to show them, listen, here's what the top 10 companies are in your portfolio. And when they began to say, oh, I've got healthcare, I've got technology, I've got these specific areas. I have a lot of people that are looking at pharmaceutical and with diabetes and all these different areas that they're really wanting to focus in. It's wonderful because I can show these funds and say, hey, kind of like my kids when they're walking down the grocery aisle, hey, you own that. And we're able to do that and tell our clients that as well.
Yeah, it's really important. I think of another example. We have a client who really specifically wants biblically based investments. That's a big one. And that's really important. We need to have the ability to have a biblically based portfolio. And we use a company called Inspire here at Crystal Clear Finances that build funds. They're ETFs that are used, that are specifically done, and they vet all of the companies to make sure they're investing their money according to the Bible. And that's a great way for peace of mind for our listeners who really want to have that level of investment. We can even go as specific as that. So there's a lot of great things that funds can do for us. And that's why you and I really will lean on those when we're building the portfolio for an individual.
And I like that because even though both of us, we're both certified financial planners, we're also investment. We look into, all right, how can I give you specific guidance on your investment? And so one of the things I want to do before we close, because I'm looking at the clock realizing, wow, it's starting to wind down. Let's talk just one more rung on that ladder. So we started with cash and CDs and bonds and stocks and mutual funds and ETFs. What else is there?
Sure. So stocks is not the last rung on the risk ladder.
Oh, no.
In fact, the risk ladder can get a lot higher for sake of time and also a clarification on the next piece because it can get really crazy. We're just going to kind of compile it all together and say the top of the risk ladder is derivatives or options or warrants. People may know them as puts and calls. But basically, there's a whole world of derivatives out there. And without getting into tons and tons of details, this is the way I like to frame this up from a risk perspective, okay? At the end of the day, if you were to purchase a stock, if you were to purchase a stock of a company, and that company went bankrupt, went to zero, went belly up, it was gone. Your maximum loss is the amount you invested, right? Because if it went to zero and it's no longer there, hey, it goes to zero, I lost my money.
Right.
In derivatives, usually options most of the time, there's actually potential to lose more than you initially invested. Now, I know that sounds crazy.
Right, and I want to pause you right there because a lot of people will come in and say, I don't know if I want to invest in the stock market because I might lose everything. And I think what they're listening to is tales of people who have been in the derivative field, who have been doing speculation, who've been doing everything you're about to talk about, and they're applying that to the stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and all of this over here, which is not a fair comparison.
Correct. It's not a fair comparison. So if, from a risk perspective, options, puts and calls, warrants, derivatives, you can potentially, in some cases, lose more than you initially invested. Basically, what that means is I can, when you think of a derivative, just think about it like this. It's a short-term bet on a swing in the market. If I think in the next couple of months the market's going to go up, well, I can make a speculative bet, and if I'm right, I can make a lot of money. If I'm wrong, I can lose a lot of money and sometimes more than I put in. The same way opposite. If I think the market's going to go down in a short period of time, I can bet it's going to go down. If it does, I could be right. But it's really a short-term bet on the market, so it's not as calculated risk. Sometimes it can be, don't get me wrong. We can use these in very calculated ways. It's a much more niche market. It's something to where if you have a very high tolerance for risk, this is something we can talk about. We can definitely add it to the portfolio if needed. However, for the vast majority of people who are looking for, hey, I need to make sure that I have a portion in stability, I have a portion in growth, how do I do that, George? We're going to build a diversified portfolio of stocks and bonds that allows you to build to your need.
And George, I love what you said. And one of the things I want to add to it is real estate. So where do you see, I mean, I know there's REITs, but then there's also real estate where people are buying apartment buildings and renting. Speak to that. Just, I know we have about 3 minutes, but just briefly on that.
Sure. Yeah. So any sort of alternative investment that's not in here. So commodities, like precious metals, gas, oil, real estate. This is a smaller section of the market. And because it is such a small section, you really don't have more than about 5 to 6% of any one section of those alternatives in the portfolio. But whether you use REITs or real estate investment trust, whether you use a DST, which is something we can talk about, Delaware statutory trust, whether it's commodities in the oil field or the natural gas, corn, wheat, oil, gold, silver, all these different things are small portions, right? And so when we look at adding this, again, it's that satellite kind of need or want. This is not should not be the core of your portfolio, but it can add and be an extra layer of diversification that we can put into the portfolio. Sometimes it can be really work really well for individuals, but you can't get overexposed. That's the biggest thing. Don't put too much in an alternative strategy when at the core of it all, right, is we're looking for stability and we're looking for growth. And whatever that income threshold is really where we're going to go.
Well said. Well said. Well, for all of our listeners and for those who are watching us on our YouTube channel, hopefully today has been an eye-opener to help you see that investing is not just you blind for yourself and you throw a dart at the wall. It's not just stocks. It's not just bonds, but it's actually intentionally creating a plan together using different resources, different availability of options to make the plan that specifically is for you. So I want to encourage our listeners to give our office a call at 518-433-7181. Let's schedule a conversation so we can find out what are your goals, where do you want to go, when do you want to retire, and then we begin to work together to create a plan that helps you meet those goals. So G, as we go to the closing, any last words, and then take us on out.
I like to say, you know, again, it goes back to, hey, we're always buying something and there's a reason why we buy it. That should not be any different in your investment portfolio. Give us a call, schedule it online or call us 518-433-7181. Subscribe to the YouTube channel so that way you don't miss out on any of our new episodes that are coming out weekly. Thank you guys so much for watching and listening. Please go ahead and schedule that conversation when you're ready to do so. We are ready to have that conversation with you. Thank you so much, and God bless.
This program is for educational purposes only. We understand that finances are complex. Facing them alone causes stress, resulting in wrong choices, missing out on opportunities, and having to settle for a lower standard of living. At Crystal Clear Finances, our team approach focuses on providing clarity and confidence so you can make the right financial decisions.
Investment advisory services offered through Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC. Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, and Crystal Clear Finances are separate entities.